Thank you, Music Ministry. Thank you, Bill. And Bill, I want to thank you and Nan for being with us. It's just been about 3 or 4 weeks now as you're serving as interim, but man, you bless us. You really do, and we thank you. And as you pray for Bill and Nan, pray also for our search team as they are seeking God's direction and the one that God would have to fill this position permanently. But until then, we're in good hands. We really are. And Jane and I have some friends here today, and we're so glad you guys are here, and it's good to see you. I want to just do a couple of housekeeping kind of things real quickly, then we're going to jump right into God's Word, because I believe this is a vital sermon in our prayer series as we're looking at praying, and this is absolutely vital that I'm going to share with you today. So you may want to make some extra notes, okay, because if you don't have this right in your prayer life, there's a good chance you're not going to have any power in your prayers as well, and that's what we're talking about is power praying. But now the housekeeping. First of all, our website is up and going, the new one, and Jacob Mahaffey, he and his partner Tad, Jacob, either stand or raise your hand, they are the owners and operators of Crazy, Stupid, Smart, right? And design, graphic design, the computer designs. And they designed our website, and I want to tell you what, it is some kind of good looking and easy to navigate. All you need to do to get to it is go home today, type in www.fiveforks, type it, fiveforks.org, www.fiveforks.org. And just enjoy it because it's beautiful, it's helpful, and again, it's easy to navigate. Now, let me remind you of our vision, all right? And our long-range planning team that was organized last year, they worked most of 2017. Al Phillips led us, and he said, first things first, before you ever get into any kind of renovation, buildings, more programs, more ministries, all those kind of things, we got to have nailed down what God has called us as His church to do. And that's to go and to make disciples, to teach them and to baptize them. Do you agree with that? We're not going by ourselves. Jesus said, I'll be with you on that, okay? And we're to be His disciples, and we're to win others to Christ. And then we are to disciple them to help them to grow. And so we've looked at this, okay, and this is what our vision is right now, the spiritual foundation of all that's going to happen in the future. And we're looking at 3 to 5 years, 10 years, however God leads us. But right now, we want to make sure we get this down. This is who we are as Five Forks Baptist Church, okay? And so that's why we're starting, and we're in the midst of this prayer emphasis of praying, because we can't do anything without prayer, and we want powerful prayer, and that's why we're having this study in Sunday school on prayer. And then when this study ends, and in just a few weeks, we're asking every Sunday school class, if you're a teacher, listen, okay, every Sunday school class, the youth, they're coming on February the 25th during the Sunday school hour at 9:30, we're going to meet in the social hall. Yeah, we'll have a little food, okay? But we're going to give you greater food. And we're going to offer you a program. We're going to offer you a ministry. And you can call it armchair praying, whatever you want. But Al Phillips is going to come, and he's going to train us. He's going to teach us on this. It is so simple. You can just go to this program, Bless Every Home. You type in the information, and however many names you want a week or a day or whatever, if it's one a month, one of your neighbors is going to send you the name of that neighbor, and you pray for them. Okay. Let me tell you personally, I've already been doing this just about 3 months, and already two doors to two of my neighbors have opened up to me, okay? And I've been able to minister to them and to deepen a relationship with them. Let me tell you, when you begin praying, you're going to become part of something greater than you are, greater than you could ever do, because you're tapping into the power of God. Don't you want to be part of that? please, more than three of you, okay? Don't you want to be part of that? Be at that training, because you'll enjoy it, and you can just go home, get your name, sit wherever you want, whatever time of day, and you pray for those neighbors. This is part of our vision, all right? Our vision is, we took this from Malachi, is to make God's name great in all the world. And we want to make God's name great beginning here in the Five Forks community, and this is one way we can do that. All right, now, let's get into God's Word, shall we? I have been preaching about power prayer, and this is the third Sunday. And we want to get this thing right, don't we, about power praying, about our prayers having power. You know, we pray every day, but sometimes we just don't have the power that we need. What I'm going to share with you today is going to be vital to you. I began the series by just explaining about the power of prayer, the power that God has in answering our prayers, okay? Secondly, we looked at intense prayer, deep prayer, heartfelt prayer on our parts, okay? We've asked you beginning about 2 or 3 weeks ago as well. We had a white index card in your bulletin, and we asked you to put down, to write down on that card anonymously, don't put your name on it, but to write down a prayer that God has to come through for you. A prayer that you got to have God to do that, to answer that prayer. We asked you to turn those in. We've tacked them onto two foam boards out in the vestibule, the foyer, okay? And then the last couple of weeks, we added a sticky note. You have a sticky note in your bulletin today. We're asking you to update that prayer request. We're already seeing some updates out there. If God is already beginning to answer your prayer, or He has answered your prayer, you want to write down what He's doing or what He has done, stick it up there and be sure to give Him the praise and the glory, because this is all about God, okay? And now, today, if you haven't put in a white index card up, you still can. They're out there. But please, if you have an index card already tacked up, God is working. Update us. I enjoy reading those every week. Today, we want to look at the prayer of the righteous. And in these three sermons that I've shared with you, I've had a basic scripture, and it came from James chapter 5. We read it every week. We're going to read it again right now. And we're going to look, first of all, at the prayer of the righteous. We want to look at the righteous, all right? In James 5, verse 16 through 18, the prayer of a righteous person, it has great power as it is working. And then he gave us an example. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah was a human being just like me and you. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3.5 years, it didn't rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. We're looking at righteous. Now, what does it mean for someone to be righteous? I shared this with you last week, too. A righteous person is simply this: someone who is right with God. Someone who is in a right relationship with God. Someone who has come into a relationship with God through faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It doesn't mean somebody who's a super saint. It doesn't mean somebody like the old paintings that's got a halo over their head, okay? James goes out of his way to say, you know, Elijah, you think he was super? But he was just like me and you, okay? Someone just like us. Now, the question may come to your mind, well, if that's all it takes to be a simple believer or a righteous person, why aren't we experiencing the prayers like Elijah? I mean, he prayed that it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain a drop for 3.5 years till he prayed again, and then it started raining. Well, it plays itself out in two ways in our lives here, okay? And some of this is just basic. Really, all of it is. You've heard it. But let me tell you, it's vital, absolutely vital for our prayer lives. First of all, there's the sinful state in which we come to Christ for salvation. We are lost in our sins. We're dead in our trespasses. Ephesians chapter 1 says that we are under the wrath of God. That's a place I don't want to stay in, okay? You don't either, right? And then there's the righteous state. Once we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there's the righteous state we receive with God through that, through our faith and repentance, all right? I just explained that. But then there's that relationship that we need with God every day. So let's sort of tear it apart a little bit. First of all, we want to look at a right position with God, okay? Christians, once again, are those people who have accepted the fact that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it was something that He did for them, for all of us, in our place, all right? Our sin before God is so serious with Him that we deserve death. And Jesus stepped in and He took all of our punishment for our sins upon Him. His death on the cross was a death for all sin for all time. God Himself became a human being. God Himself took our sin upon Him. God Himself in a mortal body died with our sin on Him, okay? But that's not the end of the story. 3 days later, to prove His point, Jesus Christ came back from the dead and He's alive now and forever. And now the work that He did on the cross can be applied to anyone who chooses to believe in Him, to acknowledge what He did, and accept His gift of salvation and eternal life. If you have made that acceptance of Jesus Christ in your life, then you have what we're talking about, a right position before God and with God. You have changed positions. That's the good news. You have moved from death to life. That is the heart of the Christian message. That is making God's name known, making God's name great in your life, in my life, in anyone who accepts Christ, that Jesus Christ died for us, and Christians are those who have accepted that death for our sins, and we have received forgiveness and new life in Him. This is a once and for all event. It never needs to be repeated again in your life. It's done. Your eternity is secure. No one, nothing can take that away from you. You now have a positional rightness that you need before God for your prayers to have power. You can pray as either a son or as a daughter of Almighty God. If that's not where you are in your relationship with God, then your prayers do not have power. So we need a right position, first of all, with God. Secondly, we need a right relationship with God, because right position is not all there is to this thing that I'm speaking of here. There's also a relationship rightness that is called for as an ongoing part of our new lives in Jesus Christ. There's a picture of this, all right? Where Jesus, the Gospels give us a picture of Jesus washing his disciples' feet there on the night, that Thursday night, just before He was arrested and He went to the cross. In John 13, John tells us about it. I'm not going to take the time to read all the scripture. It's a little lengthy. But basically, you know the picture. You know the story. You know what happened here. Jesus gathered with His disciples to observe the Jewish festival of Passover, okay? And before they ate, or after the meal, Jesus got up from the table. He went over, He poured water into a basin, He put a towel around Him, and He came over and He did a servant's job of washing His disciples' feet. The Lord God Almighty in human flesh washing human beings' feet. Can you picture that? All right? He was going around to all the disciples. He came to Peter. Peter was just, he didn't know what to do. And you never were in doubt of what Peter was thinking, because he always told you, okay? And Jesus got to Peter and He said, Lord, you shouldn't be washing my feet. I mean, my goodness, look at who you are, look at who I am. You shouldn't be washing my feet. And Jesus, if I don't wash you, then you're not part of me. Okay? And Peter then said, well, don't just wash my feet. How about my head? Let's give me a bath, okay? And Jesus said, no, those who've had a bath don't need another bath, but their feet need to be washed pretty often. Now, there's a lot of sermons here. Basically, what we preach from John 13 mostly in this illustration is servanthood. Okay? For Jesus said, you know, you need to do to everybody else what I've done to you. You need to serve others. And that's what he shared us to do, with us to do. But there's other symbolism here, okay? Because Jesus was making it, I believe, real clear. Real clear with our right position with God, that we need to pursue a relationship as well. Not just that saving position, but now we got to have a relationship, all right? Peter didn't want his feet washed, but Jesus insisted that happen. Then Peter wanted the full bath, but Jesus said that's not necessary. So once we're in a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ, all we need is to have our feet washed. All we need is to have our daily sins forgiven. Because I tell you what, I've been a Christian for a long time. I'm a pastor of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I still slip up. I still need forgiveness for my sins. I need to go before God every day and say, God, I've sinned. The spiritual cleansing that comes from seeking that daily forgiveness is decisive to maintain that relationship with God, meaning an ongoing intimacy with God. Now, this is more important. Let me take more important than you and I realize most times, particularly when it comes to our prayer life. Confession of our sins is what enables our prayers to go to God unencumbered. Isaiah 59:2, even way back in the Old Testament, all right, God is saying to his people, your iniquities, your sins have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you. Note that language now. God does not hear. He obviously knows of our prayer. But he will not hear, meaning he will not meet that prayer with the response that we want. It will not be a prayer of power, because unconfessed, unrepentant sin cuts off our communion, our relationship with God. How many of you in here are NASCAR fans? Okay, I figured it'd be more than that. All right. Well, I like NASCAR all right, but I like sports in which you can throw or pass or dribble and things like that, okay? So NASCAR, I know a little bit about it, and this is one thing I do know about NASCAR, about racing. Those cars out there, those powerful cars, they need the right kind of fuel, don't they? They need pure fuel. Any contaminant will keep the engine from operating at its fullest potential. Any speck of dirt in the fuel in a NASCAR car could cause them to have a loss of power. And that's the same with us. That's the same with you and I in our prayer life, that we need the pure fuel. Our Christian life will not reach the full potential if we're embracing sin in our lives. And I'm not talking about being sin-free. That's not going to happen on this earth, okay? I'm not talking about the areas in which you're struggling. I'm not talking about the areas where you'd slip up or you get a little sloppy or you could do better. I'm talking about areas of rebellion. I'm talking about just looking God in the face. And you've decided, God, I know what you want, but I'm going to go my direction anyway. Without blushing, with full embrace of that sin, according to the Bible and what the Bible says, that's serious stuff. Psalm 66 says, David wrote this, if I had cherished sin, iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to me. But evidently, David confessed, because he said, but God truly has listened, for he's listened, he's attended to the voice of my prayer. Proverbs 28:9 says, if one turns away his ear from hearing the law, God's word, even his prayer is an abomination to God. Isaiah 1:15-17, when you spread out your hands, when you pray, I will hide my eyes from you, God says. Even though you pray many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. You haven't confessed your sin. Wash yourselves. Confess your sin. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil and learn to do good. I'd say God's taking this thing pretty serious, wouldn't you? Let me put it as plainly as I know how. If you're embracing sin in your life, you know it. It may be a habit, it may be something new, but you haven't come before God and been honest with Him about it. Don't waste your breath praying unless it's a prayer of confession. That doesn't mean just casually saying, God, please forgive me of all my sins today, and then moving on to the next item on your agenda. We got to be specific. It's coming before God and saying, God, forgive me of my impure thoughts. God, forgive me for my gossip. God, forgive me when I lied to my coworker. God, forgive me for blowing up in anger with my spouse, my children. God, forgive me for what I said about that person, and the list could go on and on. Authentic confession. You know what? We didn't commit those sins to Him in some kind of ho-hum, generic manner, did we? We shouldn't confess that way either. This confession needs to be a full confession. And for it to be a full confession, it needs to include this. You don't hear many sermons on this, but this is what John the Baptist, this is what Jesus, the Bible says, came preaching. We've got to repent. We've got to repent. This was the heart cry of preaching, of both John the Baptist and preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come. Now let me real quickly go on this little trail here about repentance, all right? Just for a minute. First of all, let me tell you what repentance is not, okay? We'll confuse this and think this is repentance, and it may be involved, but it's not completely repentance. Repentance is not remorse. It's not simply being sorry for what we did. Remorse may lead to repentance, but it's not repentance. Repentance is not regret, just wishing that we hadn't have done that, okay? There are many people who have regretted their sin, but they've never repented. And thirdly, repentance is not remorse, it's not regret, and it's not resolve, or just turning over a new leaf. Repentance is a very rich word, okay? And it carries the idea of going in one direction. It's like you get on I-85 North. I know you got to get above the construction, but you're going 85 North, and then suddenly you said, nope, I'm going the wrong direction. You turn around, you start coming back on 85 South, okay? Repentance is defined as a change of mind, a change of thinking, to change one's ways of thinking about the things of God, about the persons of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. It's changing our minds about and thinking about salvation. It takes place when a person changes his or her mind about those things. It involves a resolve to turn away from the sin. To repent means you don't just ask God to forgive you. It means, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to go the opposite direction of my thinking about that action in my life. I won't repeat it. You know, I can regret a lie. I can even have remorse over what it means to my relationship with God. But that doesn't have anything to do with whether I will attempt to avoid the same lie tomorrow or not. If we sin, we can seek forgiveness, but forgiveness, if we're truly asking for it and mean all that it involves, it will require that we repent. Apart from this, we never get forgiveness. Now, will you hold on with me? We need to go one more step further. This is a little deep. I'm sharing all this with me and with you because I want God to bless us. I want God to do things in our lives that we can't possibly ever do. We want to be right in position with God. We want to be right in daily relationship with God. Now, thirdly, and this is the Bible speaking, we want to be right with others. We want to be right with everybody else. You see, this is raising the bar now about as high as we could go about having our prayers heard and answered, and our prayers having power. It's continuing to maintain that relationship with God, and He would listen. We can be right with God in position and seek forgiveness for our daily sins and still have a power loss in our prayer life because we've not extended the forgiveness that He gave us to other people. One of the greatest barriers to our prayer lives is unresolved conflict in our lives. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ taught in Matthew 5, 23 and 28, 24. If you come to the temple, if you come to church, and you're offering your gift at the altar, you prepare to pray, you prepare to give, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there and go. Leave church. First, be reconciled to your brother. Then come back to church and worship and offer your gift. You see, here's the situation in Jesus' time. He's at the temple. He's watching all this happen, okay? People are coming and they're offering an animal sacrifice. And, you know, they're wanting God to forgive them of their sins and wanting God to forgive them, and they want to get right with God. That was good. But they were doing it as if their relationship with other people didn't matter. That was a lack of love toward other people. That was a lack of forgiveness toward other people. It didn't matter when it came to their relationship with God. It would just never enter their mind. But Jesus said, it matters. It matters. It matters a lot. It matters so much that you should seek to take care of that before you come to God about your own stuff. Think about it this way. To get right with God relationally has both a vertical and a horizontal component, okay? The vertical component, we've talked about that already. That's us and God, all right? It's asking forgiveness, it's vow and repentance to God. The horizontal, that element involves demonstrating that same grace and forgiveness toward others that God gave to us. What God has given to us. For you know what? God created those other people too. In fact, the Bible says that our prayers for forgiveness, when we ask God to forgive us of our sins, they're evaluated by how much we have forgiven other people. God worked this out this morning because I didn't know Bill was going to do this till right before the service to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. You remember that part? Forgive us of our sins as how? We've forgiven those who have sinned against us. I mean, you can use the word debts and debtors, whatever. Let's talk forgiveness. Do you see the connection? They're joined at the hip there. Forgiveness with God, forgiveness with others. God forgive me along the same lines that I forgive other people. That was the point of Jesus' story about the unmerciful servant, all right? He was forgiven much by a king. He had a lot of debt and the king forgave him. But then after he received forgiveness from the king, he went out and his brothers that owed him something, he wouldn't forgive them. Jesus said, and the king or the master, he delivered that servant to the jailers until he should pay all of his debt. And Jesus said, it's pretty much what God's going to do for us. If we're not forgiving others, good chance He's not going to answer our prayers either. Some or perhaps many of you have heard of a woman by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. Now, if you're younger, You're going to learn something today. A woman named Corey Ten Boom. She sounds like a Native American, doesn't she? Corey Ten Boom. Well, she's not. Okay, she's dead now. But in World War II, she and her family lived in the Netherlands, Holland, okay? And they were Christians. But they were so hurt and convicted by what they saw going on around them. Nazi Germany had conquered their nation, and they were ruling it. And one thing Nazi Germany did to every nation they conquered, they went and they arrested as many of the Jewish people as they could. And they sent them off to these concentration camps, and there they killed many of them. I think, 6 million Jews in World War II. Corey and her sister Betsy were sent to a women's prison extermination camp. Their parents went to another camp. The parents died. They were killed. Eventually, Betsy died as well. It was too much for her. Corey lived only because she was released on a clerical error a week before she was scheduled to be killed. And eventually her story was written into a book called The Hiding Place, because they hid Jews, and that's why they were captured and put into a concentration camp. And Corey Ten Boom became an ambassador to the world. But I'm going to show you a little video clip here in just a moment, all right? You're going to hear her voice. And this is her telling about the power of God in her life. It wasn't just surviving the concentration camp with her faith intact. The power that she had for God to use her. Will you listen to it?
It was some time ago that I was in Berlin. And there came a man to me and said, Mr. Bohm, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me? And suddenly I saw that man that was one of the most cruel overseers in concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian. I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein Zambom, will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But when I saw, when I experienced that I could not forgive, suddenly I knew I myself have no forgiveness. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5, and thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, brother, give me your hand. And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either. But he can.
And so it is with all of us. You see why it's necessary? What God has done for us, we're to do for others. Well, what's the result? Well, let's end. Let's go back to the verse that I've made the foundation for this series, James 5:16. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. Let's just nail it right there. If you are in the right position with God, and you're in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, as you have a right relationship with others, then your prayers are heard and they're answered by God in ways that we cannot imagine. You believe that? Are you ready for the next step in this series on prayer? Are you ready to increase the power of your prayers? Then first and foremost, and there may be someone in here, get right with God. You got to get right with God. And then get positionally right. Somebody may not have ever done that. Just simply believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and that He paid for your sins. Now, whether you have prayed that prayer today or a long time ago, we need to have a life that is in relational rightness with God. A daily, ongoing application of that same forgiveness for the sins that we commit. Come before Him every day. Have your feet washed. Stay right with Him by confessing your sins and asking Him for His ongoing daily forgiveness. And as we do, we need to be sure we're extending that same forgiveness that God gives us to other people. For that's the key to experiencing the power of prayer. Once again, if you haven't written your prayer and posted it out there, do so. Once again, take the sticky note, and if God is working, then you write it and stick it on your prayer out there so we'll know, okay? Let's pray. Father, now, as we close today, we want to thank You and praise You and glorify You and worship You for Your great plan and Your great act of salvation that You Yourself accomplished through Your Son, Jesus Christ. You made it so simple that, God, to have our sins forgiven, we just turn our eyes upon Jesus. We believe in our hearts, as Your Word says, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that He died for us, He took our sins upon Him, and He rose again. We thank You, God, for our position we can have with You of being a saved person. But Lord, we still live in this earth, and every day there's going to be something in our lives, even though we're Christians, that we need to ask forgiveness for. Find us, Lord, buying into that and doing it. And now, God, I pray for anyone here who's not prayed for a right relationship with You. For those of us who have, and yet, God, there's sin in our life, we know it and we need to confess it today. And we need to repent and turn from it forevermore. Hear our prayer. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you again today. If you want to come and to pray here at the altar, no one will hear your prayer. You just come. Come and kneel. Come and sit on that front pew and you pray. Pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for our nation. Pray that Five Forks Baptist Church, and you'll be a part of this, of making God's name great. If God is leading you to join this good church, and you come and you tell me that, okay? If God is leading you to make a right relationship with God through faith, you come and tell me as well. Let's stand together and sing, and as we sing, you come.